Next is agenda item six, discussion of possible action from the technical, on reports from the technical consultant. First one is 6.1, adoption of the major amendment of the 2021 regional water plan and submittal of the major amendment to the Texas Water Development Board. Hey, Tony.
Good morning. So the first item on the agenda, the way I like to describe this right off the bat is that this is looking backward. So what that means is that while this body's working on our 2026 plan, the one that's, the draft is due next March and we'll adopt it next year, and that'll be the latest and greatest eventually, will be the 2026 plan. This first agenda item isn't looking forward at that 2026 plan. This is looking backward at the 2021 plan. And we were obligated, and I did a lot of work for you guys. I started thinking of y'all, we're all one together in this. But the planning group was obligated to do, to perform an evaluation to look at infeasible strategies. I am not going to hit you over the head with all of the details of that process, because we've been doing that for the last 6 to 8 months. What I am going to do is just a brief recap, so folks in the public just know what's going on, and just a little refresher, is that we had to go back and look at the old plan, the 21 Brazos Street plan, and identify if any strategies in that were infeasible. We reached out to the sponsors of those strategies and talked with folks about, is it reasonable that this major reservoir is going to be built in the next 5 to 7 years, or 10 years, or 20 years? If a groundwater well, you're indeed still planning on developing that well or expanding that plant. And we went through that process through late 2023, early 2024. The scope of work committee met. We developed the process. We developed a recommended list. And the scope of work committee then recommended that to the planning group. The planning work group adopted that list on February 13th in one of these meetings, identifying several infeasible strategies that were related to major reservoirs. And as folks may or may not know, is that as soon as you start talking about potential modifications to major reservoirs, that immediately invokes that, if you're looking backwards, that that would invoke a major amendment of the previous plan if you were to change those infeasible strategies that were identified. And so on February 13th, the planning group formally initiated the major amendment process. And as part of that process, it included holding a public hearing, which was held on March 27th here, along with regular planning group meeting, to accept public comments. And the public comment period was open from that meeting until roughly 30 days after that meeting. We've been through that period. And then today, we're at consideration of adopting the amendment. In that March public hearing and in the February meeting, the planning group gave the technical consultant the capability to work with the Water Development Board staff on the details of the amendment, to identify if there were any comments that would be received and how we would work those out as far as some of the nitty-gritty details of how we would modify the database. We worked with them significantly, and they were a huge help in burrowing down, figuring out exactly how we could do this in such a way that was as elegant as possible, that met the most needs that we could, that avoided stepping into changing other regions' regional water plans. And I'm gonna march through some of those comments here. But the point being is that that major amendment is due June 4th, so right around the corner. And so up for your consideration today is a formal action to adopt the amendment. The amendment packet was included and submitted out to you folks for review that has all of the documents as well as the responses and responses to comments. There are some digital deliverables that are basically different ways of repackaging the same information that's in that packet that we'll include when we submit to the Water Development Board. Just in formats that they want digitally, so we check all the boxes. Yes, sir.
Dirk has a question.
I do have a question, Tony, and maybe more of a comment to ask you to confirm. This process is, for those that are here in the room or new to the to the planning group. Just for the record, this is a new process, correct?
That's right.
Based on legislative changes to planning?
Yes, sir.
And that this Region G planning group supported that change by the legislature, correct?
That's my understanding.
I just want to make sure everybody understands why we're going backwards and looking. Infeasible was a real emotional issue for some of the legislative body, that some of those plans, just things were just not practical.
Right, right. And the legislature adopted statutory changes to the water code and administrative code, which then fell forward through the Water Development Board's rules and guidelines that added this as a task, this cycle that hasn't been done in previous cycles, this looking backwards. Hence why in your amendment packet, you see a giant, you know, tables of information, but all of them are related to the old plan. So rather than, you know, what me and my team have been rounding up and talking with water providers and pulling information together, that's for updating the 2026 plan. The information that's in those tables is looking backwards at what was in the old plan. And so, yes, this is a new exercise to specifically focus on what those infeasible strategies are and amending to address those infeasible strategies. We received from the water, we didn't receive any public comments. We did receive comments from the Water Development Board. There were three general ones that were basically just guidance on, okay, hey, what formally did we need to include in our amendment packet, including a copy of the updated state water planning database, that big giant tables of DB22. I keep looking over at John like, this is you. But that large copy of tables from DB22, that's the database that was used for the state water plan in 2022. We've included that, a copy of the board's written comments and the region's response documenting every one of those comments, which we've included, and a summary of any public comments we didn't receive any. Then they had four specific comments that I just wanted to touch upon briefly with y'all today. One was that we had a strategy for Johnson County Special Utility District to increase the amount of surface water purchased from Tarrant Regional Water District. We reworded that and called it a new strategy. That's a voluntary transfer for Johnson County SUD to reallocate existing supplies for it and its customers, along with the revision of the geographic splits. What this comes down to is that inside the database, there was a split of positive 15 in the Trinity and negative 15 in the Brazos, and we needed to adjust that and reallocate that in such a way that we didn't need to go and have Region C amend their plan as well. And by recommending a strategy as a voluntary reallocation that checks the box, it still supports the real world change that Johnson County SUD requested, but it does it in such a way that we don't invoke having to have Region C amend their plan. We just have a strategy for a voluntary transfer with their existing customers. We're not creating new water. We're taking what's already recommended supply and existing supply with them and redistributing it. And you'll find, as a matter of fact, that's essentially what we're doing with all of these comments, is it's a redistribution. The second item is a draft amendment stating that the revisions for Cedar Ridge Reservoir, which you'll recall we delayed. It wasn't that we said, no, the reservoir can't be done. We delayed it. Well, that caused, as we reported before, two unmet needs for Roscoe and Mining County and Mining and Nolan County. We worked with the Water Development Board and looked at two other already recommended strategies. One from Region F, that was the subordination of Oak Creek Reservoir, and another recommended strategy for conjunctive use out of Oak Creek. And we recommend reallocating those strategy numbers to Sweetwater and its customers. And by doing that, we can eliminate the unmet needs. So we're not adding any unmet needs by delaying Cedar Ridge. So it's not a change to our recommendation. It's merely a change of two existing recommended strategies. We're reallocating supply so we don't cause any unmet needs. So we delay the reservoir strategy and we avoid unmet needs, which is one of the requirements that we try and avoid as many unmet needs as we can. And working with the board, we figured out a way how to do that. And so this next comment is literally the same thing. The board said, hey, due to the revisions, we need to take out and remove our initial comments that said there were unmet needs for mining Nolan County and Roscoe. And we've done that. We've taken out those unmet needs. And then lastly, we, with the delay for Throckmorton Reservoir, with the change to Throckmorton Reservoir, we needed to update the unmet need amounts in our memo by about, I think it was 50 acre feet. And so now the new numbers are 1,446 and 1,401. We've updated those in working with the Water Development Board. So all these we have checked and rechecked, passing information back and forth between ourselves and the Water Development Board, and confirmed that all of these are in line and meet the requirements and needs that the board has for the major amendment. And so we've compiled that packet together. We'll have the supporting digital materials, and pending this planning group's adoption of the major amendment, which is what we're requesting today, we will submit that before the June 4th deadline and call it good, at least as far as that amendment goes, as far as this infeasibility process. It's been a long time coming. I know we've been talking with you a lot about the word infeasible since last October, at least. And so the suggested action here is for the Brazos County Regional Water Planning Group adopt this major amendment of the 2021 Brazos County Regional Water Plan as presented, and approves its submittal to the Water Development Board before June 4th, 2024.
Any questions for Tony? I'll entertain a motion for that suggested action.
So moved.
So we have a motion by David Collinsworth. I have a second from Dale Spurgeon.
Point of order, it passed the first initial motion.
Had to read it.
Brazos County Regional Water Planning Group adopts this major amendment of the 2021 Brazos County Regional Water Plan as presented, and approves its submittal to the Texas Water Development Board before June 4th, 2024. Thank you, Mr. Aaron.
I will second correctly.
Okay. Since Tony read it, I was going to let him off the hook, but okay. Now we got it twice. Okay. Any other questions or any substantive comments on the motion? If not, a major amendment takes a 2/3 vote, so it'll be a voice vote. And I'll ask Ms. Peek if she will roll call the vote.
Dirk Allen.
Yes.
Dale Adams.
Yes.
Charles Macita.
Yes.
David Blackburn.
Yes.
Jim Briggs.
Yes.
David Collinsworth.
Yes.
Lucy Dunn. Scott Feltman. Alan Gardenhire.
Yes.
Zach Holland.
Yes, ma'am.
Now everyone take note. Gary Myers.
Yes.
David Nations.
Yes.
Gary Newman.
Yes.
Gail Peek is yes. Lynn Smith.
Yes, ma'am.
Ron Vail. Dale Spurgeon.
Yes.
Michael Heath.
Yes.
Lisa Tyre.
Yes.
Charles Ferguson.
Yes.
Nick Williams.
Yes.
Alan Day.
Yes.
Wayne Wilson.
Yes. It does pass. The motion passes. So that's good. We can put the 2021 behind us for now, unless somebody else comes before we get through. Thank y'all for your vote and your attention and taking care of that issue. So that authorizes Tony and his group to submit that to the Water Development Board before June 4th. Just like what he just showed you, everything was that except the corrections that we just saw. So that brings us to agenda item 6.2, regional water planning updates. Tony has a couple things he wants to go over, and then he's going to review chapter 2 with us.
Yes, thank you. So our team has been working hard, rain dancing, and I think it's been working. But we've had some requests to slow it down. I always like to start with a budget update. We're roughly 55% through our initial budget allocation. Again, that's the initial budget allocation. There's still additional budget and a contract amendment that we're going to use with BRS. Frankly, we've been working that so hard we haven't taken the time to amend the budget, but we will. It's already been approved by the board. By the Water Development Board. It's already been approved by the planning group. The agreement's already in place with BRA. It's simply just executing it with us. And frankly, we're doing fine on budget right now, so we haven't been sweating getting that next one, but we're going to do it here pretty soon as we get everything lined up. Point being is that you can tell we're been working heavily on those front-end tasks that were first approved. We've been working on all those, particularly that infeasible strategy, one that you can see we're at 100% expended on that. So the timing of this adoption is appreciated. For today, essentially there are just a handful of items, no formal actions that I'm requesting today. Instead, we're going to do a preliminary review of the Chapter 2 information, a copy of which was sent out to the Regional Planning Group members, like we did with Chapter 1 in our previous meeting. What we're doing, and this just comes from being the new consultant this go-around, is that I take what was done in the last go-around and we track the changes of what we're changing. That way, you don't have to necessarily, when you're looking through it, evaluate every single sentence going, all right, is this brand new? Do I need to, what is this new consultant saying? You can see exactly what it is that we're modifying and updating. And we're doing that just to provide a level of comfort to the planning group members that this first cut, we're not asking for you to adopt that chapter today. Just like we didn't ask you to adopt Chapter 1 at our last meeting. Rather, that's opening the floor. So I did want to at least open the floor because we did share Chapter 1. If there are any, we got some really good comments last time about some of the economic tables that we had, some language that we wanted to add on groundwater conservation districts. If anybody had anything, having stared at the ceiling and really thought about that Chapter 1 a lot, I'm sure, since the last meeting, if anybody had anything they wanted to offer up, I at least wanted to open up the floor of the planning group members if anyone had any comments on it today.
So, Tony, at our last meeting, when you went over the summary of Chapter 1 for us, there was a comment on some of the economic data. Would you share with us, I don't remember who made the comment, but what you found out about that? You looked into it. So
we did, and we're pulling that data from the comptroller's website. And I'm going to hit up the comptroller's office, too, for a little bit more detailed data because their reporting is in certain areas that doesn't necessarily align with regional water planning areas. And so we want to try and get it at a granular level if we can.
So it has to be broken out a little different, the way they have it reported, okay.
Exactly. But that's one of the comments we're seeing. The floor is open, is a message to you, and that we can push you. And we can also include comments all the way up. We've got the IPP, and I'm going to talk more about this later. We've got the initially prepared plan, the draft, that's due next March. We can accept comments from a planning group at any time over that time frame. So even this isn't your last bite at the apple. Point being is that the process that we're doing as a technical consultant for y'all is laying out these plans early with the track changes that you can see so that if there's anything that does cause heartburn with either old language or new, that you can wave the flag such that by the time we get to March, you've seen most everything, and it's not a whole 10,000-page document that's being plopped on your lap and you have to approve at the right meeting. It is going to be a big document. Hopefully, in this piecemeal way, you get to evaluate it in digestible chunks. That's the way I would say.
Before he goes to Chapter 2, did anybody have anything on Chapter 1 that they wanted to bring up?
Hearing none. I'm also going to touch upon some potential items for consideration for the policy committee. And I'll go through those as well. This Chapter 2 information, representative from the City of Liberty Hill spoke moments ago about the projections. You know, we've been through over the last year and change the process of developing the projections of population, of municipal demand, of non-municipal demands. We went through that over last year. And this Chapter 2 is just the documentation of that process. And so what I thought I would do is a high-level summary of the information that's in Chapter 2. Again, so that as this body's considering it, you can remember what's in there, what are we saying, what exactly did we do last year, and have an opportunity over the coming 6 to 8 months to weigh in on it. And I should say, you have opportunity to comments after the IPP, because then the formal comment period occurs and we still have to finalize the plan. So there's a good 15 months at least that there's opportunity for comments on this. Chapter 2 is broken into two sections, population projections and water demand projections, population related to municipal. And that relates to utilities. As was referenced before, we do utility-based planning. So it's not based on city limits. It's based on utility limits and where those geographically lie. And on the non-municipal side, we have five different categories: livestock, manufacturing, steam electric power generation, mining, and irrigation that are done for each county. The 26 plan, talking about population projections, it's includes now the 2020 census, which we didn't have in the last plan. So again, significant differences. Those projections are based on the Texas Demographic Center's county level projections. They overlay those with the boundaries of water users and water user groups, and that's how they disaggregate the census blocks into specific areas for each water user group. I would say that in our last meeting, I think John brought up that there's an effort underway to update the boundaries. And by all means, everybody listening, if you have boundaries for your area, you want to make sure those things are right, because that directly plays into the population projections that are done. And so but take advantage of the board putting out the opportunity to update those things. That can be done online. You can look through the board's website and find that information. Point being is that we really utilize that information. That forms the basis for developing the population projections. It incorporates migration scenarios, movement of populations from one area to another. There were two, you'll recall, there was a lot of conversation we had about 1.0 and 0.5 migration scenarios. It's full and half. I won't go into all that detail unless asked, but we really went through that with each county and looked at what's the most conservative picture from water supplies, which migration should be used for each county. And the planning group had the capability of requesting county by county which migration scenario to use. We also had a broad, for the entire region, a calculation of the demographic undercount for Hispanics and Blacks that we made a recommendation to the Water Development Board to adjust to correct the undercount and the census for that. We had the 1.0 migration scenario for 20 counties. We had the 0.5 migration scenario for 17 counties. Again, 0.5 doesn't necessarily mean lower. It meant, you know, it was less extreme. So if there was a county that was lower in size, that 0.5 might have been more conservative and higher than the 1.0. And we went through item by item each one of those. The Chapter 2 language walks through that process and what our recommendations were. We had WUG specific requests. So I mentioned we sent out a survey to Liberty Hill in May. The reason why I remember that date is because we reached out to all of the water user groups in the region and wholesale water providers to start that conversation, not have one conversation, just start it on, all right, we have all these population projections. Let's round up as good information as we can to come in and recommend corrections to the Water Development Board. So it started with a survey, with phone calls. We had a lot of rounding up of master plans, studies. We pulled together what historic data we could. If there was new infrastructure developments, what we could to document it.
pulled that together into a submittal that we made to the Water Development Board to justify modifications to the population projections. We did the same thing with per capita usage. We were looking at, all right, what is the most conservative means of representing per capita usage when we're obligated, we being the regional planning group, is obligated to contemplate, all right, what's drought of record conditions? What's a conservative picture of what's the per capita use during very hot times? You know, it's higher. How do we best characterize that for every single water user group? We had 281 different modifications to the per capita usage that we recommended to the Water Development Board. Board gives us drafts, the planning group recommends changes, and then the board considers those changes based on whatever supporting documentation we could pull together from the WUGs. How much could we pull together? With all of that, we requested to revise 354 of the 360 WUGs or county other users in our region. The board, in its review of the information we could pull together, I'd say much of it we were successful in changing. There were some that we didn't have enough technical documentation that we couldn't round it up with the WUGs to warrant a change. But overall, the population projections were roughly 12% higher than the initial draft in 2030. They were 20% higher in 2050 and 14% higher in 2080 relative to the draft numbers that were initially promulgated by the board. So that was due to the efforts of the planning group and all the WUGs in the region providing us information to make a change. What that change looks like, in gray were the draft numbers that came out. And again, I think you'll recall, it was a lot of, boy, these look low. We're growing a lot faster than this. And particularly, you know, 20 through 2023, you know, there's a lot of near-term rapid growth. And we heard it from the WUGs throughout the region and you guys as well. And recall that the 20 through 23 data may not be have been available for the board to do the draft amounts. So this is the board's plan, is to, hey, let's get the more recent information and get it updated. And that's, we were successful in doing that. What we asked for was in blue, and what we got is there in green. And now this is a gross picture of the entire region in terms of population growth over 2030 through 2080, which is our planning horizon this cycle. But we were successful in increasing it significantly, both in the near term and the long term relative to what the initial amounts were. Now, as far as what that growth rate looks like distributed through the region, again, this is for the purposes of our draft plan. That we'll have a map like this in the chapter two showing kind of, hey, where are those significant growth rates occurring? Obviously, along the I-35 corridor, now in the southern parts of Region G, that's historically been the case, and it's all the more so today. And I think that's the tale being told with the data. No surprise there. It's consistent with what we went through with this body last year. As far as the population projections go, we have different ways of kind of showing those projections. On the left here, we look at historical and then look at the regional planning area's population as we start going out to 2030 through 2080. And you can see that, you know, in the 90s where it really started picking up, and boy, how it picks up over the next 50 years. And I don't think this comes as a surprise to any one of you water planners. So I'm mainly telling you that your chapter two supports what you think. It is growing a lot, and Region G is significantly growing. Where? Well, we also have these three sub-regions in Region G, the Rolling Plains, the I-35 corridor, and then the Lower Basin. Those were previously determined in previous rounds of planning and used for a lot of different purposes we'll talk about later, but that's just the breakdown of where that growth's occurring. Obviously, along the I-35 corridor there, you see a significant chunk of the growth occurring there in that middle piece. Looking at it here, those two blues are a little hard to differentiate. I apologize, I can't see it back there, but it's in the middle, the I-35 corridor. No surprise there. As far as the distribution by county, this is taking the top seven counties, I believe. One, two, three, yeah. Seven counties, and showing that breakdown, and then just lumping the other counties together just to see, okay, over that 20, 10 through 2080 period, incorporating our projections for 2030 to 2080, kind of how it breaks out. Obviously, Williamson County, Bell County, Brazos County, Johnson, those are some of the areas experiencing the largest growth relative to the other counties. But I will wave the flag that just because they're the biggest, it doesn't mean that they're going to be getting more attention than the other counties, because, yeah, Williamson County is going to grow by a million. Grow by a million people, but it doesn't mean that growing by 50,000 people in another county isn't significant to that county. So we're studying all of them and going to be engaging with all of those water users to capture strategies for all of them. The second part of the chapter is related to demands. That's a lot of talking about population. Well, that's all the municipal side. We've still got non-municipal numbers, municipal and non-municipal numbers on the demand side of the equation. That equation's here. I waved it at you a lot of long ago. I don't want to hit you up with too many equations. You engineers in the room will appreciate it. But basically, we take a baseline per capita number, and we try and use a conservative baseline per capita usage. And we looked through the historical water use survey information that's provided by the WUGs to identify like a max over the last 10 years. We identified those. There are PC savings, pipeline or plumbing code savings, plumbing code savings that are embedded when we're projecting out into the future. Those plumbing code savings aren't assumed to occur over the next 50 years because the board has started to incorporate the fact that, yeah, there might still be some plumbing code savings over the next 10, 20 years, but that's not going to continue to play out as much as it's been significantly over the last 10 to 20 years. And so that starts petering out a bit when you get out to 2080. Yes, sir.
That's what's here.
1040?
How is it? 140.
The floor? I believe that's the, yes, that's the adopted floor.
With the 1% growth.
Right, right. And then we multiply whatever that resultant per capita usage by the projected population, and that's where we get the water demand. So it's pretty straightforward there. Our work in the pulling together information from the WUGs was really dialing in on the per capita usage. And hey, what's a conservative representation? Can't just be the average per capita or the most recent. In some cases, there are WUGs that their more recent is higher because they're growing. And so we try and capture the maximum so we can kill two birds with one stone. We can either catch those WUGs that are growing and we have the highest maximum per capita usage in a recent period, or if they're not growing in terms of per capita usage, but say 2011 was a really bad year and their per capita usage was high, then by extending our period to look over a 10-year window, we still capture 2021 and we can capture that drought condition per capita usage, which is what we did. And so that's how we submitted it to the Water Development Board. And we requested those revisions for per capita usage too. Those requests, we had 281 per capita numbers that we requested revision to for WUGs and county other users, resulting in demand projections that were roughly 20 to 28% higher over the 2030 through 2080 period. I'll show some of that here. So now we're looking at water demand, municipal water demand, talking about the difference between, all right, what was the original draft and where did we end up? We asked, obviously, the way I would characterize it is the board was very understanding of near-term conditions and changes in the recent period of trying to capture those. But when it came to saying that same thing is going to happen over a 50-year span, then we didn't have as much justification in our science that we were bringing together, whatever data we could, that said we know it's going to be this in 50 years. Some of the studies, some of the larger entities that could afford big studies had that kind of information, and we could bring it forward, and the board approved it. Where we only have, like, the last 5 years of data, it's hard to say with 5 years of data what that we hold that line all the way out to the future. And so that's why you see that you know, we're very close on the front end. It's on the back end. Too much coffee. I'm shaking. On the back end in 2080, there's that difference that we didn't get approved as much. But we still significantly increased the overall demands compared to the draft amounts. Just to show, talk about non-municipal demands for a moment and perspective with the municipal demands. We went through last year all of the methodologies on non-municipal, each one of them. We identified recommended changes. In fact, there were planning group members that had some really good suggestions that we took in. I remember one was livestock, that we took comments on livestock, and the base methodology looked at big old facilities out in West Texas, and we dialed it into facilities, livestock facilities more relevant to Region G, and made changes to the livestock projections. And similarly with mining and steam electric and facilities closing, it's a different picture than previous cycles with non-municipal, because again, there's facilities that have shut down or are projected to shut down by the state. And so the steam electric power generation numbers are different than what they were in previous rounds. We talked about that a lot last year, and we're reflecting that here again in chapter two. But to just give you a picture, 2030 and 2080, municipal demand comprises about half of the demand in the region in 2030, with steam electric a larger percentage, and irrigation, no surprise there. By 2080, that distribution changes, and you can see how, you know, municipal comprises a larger component of the percentage. But remember, that overall number is larger too. We've got growth, so those numbers are going to be bigger across the board. Just the relative composition of municipal and non-municipal demands is going to vary, or is projected to vary as we go into the future. Looking at that in terms of composition of that growth here, you can kind of see that municipal growth increasing over time relative to irrigation, steam electric power generation. In past cycles, that steam electric was a lot larger than this cycle, again, with facilities shutting down. And here's the important point I want to note in all of this, is that the planning group has significant leeway in recommending water management strategies, such that even if a WUG were to have no projected need based on the populations adopted, based on the projected demands that have been adopted already, that even if it says zero need, that if that WUG approaches the planning group and says, I know your numbers are not showing a need, but we have a strategy. We think we do have significant growth, and we do have a strategy that we need to engage, that WUG can round up supporting documentation, bring it to the technical consultant, and we'll share it with the regional planning group. And the planning group has every capability from the Water Development Board to make a recommended strategy, even with zero need. Doesn't mean you will. I'm not saying you have to. But the planning group absolutely has a capability of doing that, of making a recommended strategy for a WUG that has zero need. But, you know, again, it's up to the planning group's prerogative and what information that those WUGs can bring to you for your consideration. We evaluate it as part of our process. But that in that process that we approved back in February, we round up the information from the WUGs, including what strategies they're contemplating, and we can bring that to your attention. So I'm saying that because if there are WUGs that say, hey, I've got new information or different information, this is always an exercise where we're taking a snapshot in time of what the demand projections are. And we have to work with those snapshots, but it doesn't mean that we can't round up information and bring it to the planning group's consideration. So I'll use Liberty Hill as an example, where if they have other information that says, hey, we're growing at X rate, that's not shown in the adopted numbers. And I'm not picking on Liberty Hill. It's a ready example. We have different supporting information. They can bring that forward, and then we can bring it to your consideration and say, hey, they've got a strategy that they want recommended. Even though our adopted numbers, we think that we can talk, you know, those are adopted projections. So there's uncertainty in projections. As such, there's the capability for the planning group to consider recommending strategies, even if the adopted number doesn't show that. So I say all of that just to emphasize the flexibility that this planning group has, this body has, to consider those things. You're not obligated to. You have the capability to. And I just want to make sure that's clear, but I also want to wave the flag that it takes adequate documentation. It can't just be, I want it. We've got to have documentation, and that's always the name of the game. What does adequate mean? What does documentation mean? And that'll be, you know, part of the planning group's consideration and our work as we're compiling water management strategies together. So that's the important note at the end of this related to our population projections in Chapter 2. They're important. They set the basis for our evaluation, but that's where we're heading.
Any questions for Tony or any comments or suggestions on Chapter 2? Yes, Jim Briggs.
Just a comment on the process. I think because of the work of the planning groups and the recommendations, it's become a lot more realistic of a plan and more flexible to, as you mentioned, Gary, about what we're doing here. I'm sorry, Tony, I'm going back. But I think it's become a lot more effective of a plan process by the changes that have come through, and it's the work of the planning groups. I know that there are those that are out there sharing, you know, it gets criticized one way or the other, because when you look forward, you're planning on the drought of record and using that going forward, and other people are saying, well, this is what's happening and it's going to be worse going forward. Well, that's like trying to figure out what the stock market's doing and saying the stock market's going up, it's going to go up, it's going to do these things. Well, our forecasting rain, if I planned on the forecast of rain in the last couple of weeks at my location, I'd be checking on cows with a boat. And so, you know, the reality is that doesn't always materialize, and you have to use the best data possible and adjust to conditions. So I just commend everybody working on this to make the process more flexible, and it becomes a better plan.
Thank you, Jim. Any other questions or comments or suggestions for Tony? Okay, remember we have long time to make suggestions or comments, don't we? Another year.
Definitely okay. Not the last bite at the apple.
Yeah.
And I think Jim provides a good segue into the last part of my presentation. This is to not open a debate or Pandora's box on a lot of key issues, but really, you know, there's been improvements to the process over the years. And the process, those improvements, a lot of them come from recommendations from the planning groups. There's an entire chapter of the Regional Water Plan, Chapter 8, that is related to recommendations that come from the planning group. Historically, this body has had a committee, a policy committee, that starts with something and gathers together material for consideration of the planning group on policy recommendations to improve the process. Those recommendations can be aimed towards the legislature. They could be aimed towards really anybody. It could be aimed towards the Water Development Board and improving the regional planning process, supporting various initiatives in the state. What I have done, my team has done, is gone back to the 21 plan and pulled out the various topics that were identified in the 21 plan with a very high level summary. And I want to beg forgiveness, because when we're summarizing, we may not use the precise wording that's actually in the plan, but this is just slide material to get the idea across of recommendations that were in the 21 plan. I'm just bringing this forward to go kind of touch upon this list. I'm not going to read through all of them. I'm just going to touch upon a few. But the idea is that as a starting point, we can look back at what was recommended, policy recommendations from Chapter 8 of the 21 plan, and hand that ball to the policy subcommittee so that it might start get rolling on considering these other items that the planning group members may want to have addressed this go around. And I am going to spend a moment on one of the other new items that's already been identified this cycle. I would suggest that rather than throwing ideas out at the table and around here, that probably the best process would be for planning group members that have initial additional ideas beyond these or modifications to these, submit an email to Pam so that Pam could aggregate those, and that should this group want to go forward with issuing the policy committee a charge, that Pam could round up any comments from regional planning group members and hand that ball to the policy committee for their consideration. I've just listed out here, so it's in your notes and in the record, those items that were in the previous plan. They related to ecologically unique stream segments, or I'm sorry, stream segments of unique ecological value, unique reservoir sites, legislative and policy recommendations, streamlining the process for project implementation, the plan implementation, discussing support for the SWIFT funds, coordination between the regional planning groups and groundwater conservation districts. This is certainly, Region G is certainly a good example of that coordination, and I think supporting it for everywhere in the state is a good idea, and you guys certainly had it last go around. Supporting system operations, being as efficient as you can with the supplies that you've got. Supporting easing restrictions on interbasin transfers as a strategy. Discussions on the rule of capture, supporting the rule of capture and how the role of GCDs there. Conjunctive use, supporting conjunctive use of groundwater and surface water. ASR, it was brought up in some of the comments at the public comments at the beginning of the meeting, but ASR projects and aquifer recharge projects. Per capita use for municipal utilities. Reservoir water management. There were various recommendations related to water management of reservoirs. Source water protection, watershed planning, water pricing and conservation, reuse, education. There were items on each of these subjects in the last plan, and I'm not bringing these forwards as recommendations. I'm merely bringing these forward as, hey, maybe this is a starting point to chew for the committee, the policy committee to chew on. The one, I won't read through all of these here, but what I will hit on is one new one at the end. And the new one at the end is a subject that when we were doing our work earlier this year, the groundwater committee identified it, and it related to how the board reviews the MAGs and its use in SWIFT funding, how MAGs are used in SWIFT funding, and the differences between permitting in the real world and how the MAGs are used in planning. And it was a significant discussion that the groundwater committee had, such that it became a recommendation out of the groundwater committee in February saying to the planning group, hey, this is an item that probably should get punted over to the policy committee for them to flesh out as a additional language for Chapter 8. This planning group actually adopted that with this language here in February, saying encourage the regional planning group to look at including in the appropriate chapter and through our policy committee to raise the concerns expressed in this and prior discussions to the Water Development Board and ask that they revisit their rules on how they review the MAG and its use in SWIFT funding. And so that was adopted by this group in February. So that's one we're adding to the list with all of the previous ones from 2021. As kind of a, hey, here's a starting point. And with that, I'm just going to speak briefly to our path forward.
Let me, before you go forward. So what you have in front of you is what we approved and put in the 2021 plan. This group did. And so what the reason he brought them for today is because I asked him to, for y'all to have kind of a summary page because the Water Policy Committee will be meeting or will need to meet before too long and start that process. To give y'all a chance to look through these, if y'all have any, there may be some that y'all think needs to be taken out that we don't need to revisit. And maybe some that you think that maybe needs to be modified in some way. Maybe some, maybe a couple of them could be combined or whatever. And then any new ones that you may have besides the one that we have, if you have any of those suggestions or recommendations, send them to Pam, and Pam will get them to Tony, and the chair of that committee is Charles Beseda, and to him to bring forth to the committee so they can start their work. That's the reason we have this. Representing us on the Water Policy Committee is Charles Beseda, Zach Holland, Kenny Weldon, Gary Myers, Alan Gardenhire, Lynn Smith, Ryan Bell, and then Jennifer Bronson Warren is a non-voting member on that committee. So any questions on the water policy before we move forward?
Yes,
Dale Spurgeon.
Because of this first time we've had to look back, you know, on a previous plan on these strategies and feasibility, do you envision any other policy changes that we're going to, again, look back at an existing plan that we're going to have to be mindful of?
Policy changes on looking back. Well, honestly, I can't forecast whether or not that in the next cycle we'll be asked to do the same feasibility analysis again or not. That was legislatively driven. So
right.
Whether or not that's a one-time thing we're doing this cycle, or
yeah, hopefully we're mindful of that moving forward.
Yeah.
Do you envision there's something else that they're going to pull out of the air and say, I want y'all to look back and reevaluate? I mean, just for a policy committee to be mindful of.
Yeah, we don't have that. We don't have anything that we've identified that's that significant.
Okay.
I think it's those items that groundwater conservation districts, that water managers and water providers are facing day in and day out, that this body would want to weigh in on, that are new compared to 5 years ago. Some of these fly really high, and others are like timely. And so there may be some timely ones that would want to be, you know, discussed and cussed in the policy committee about whether or not they warrant a recommendation. But I can't say that anything that we've done on the execution and prosecution of what we've done to date, that there's something that we would say this needs changing at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good question. Any others? Okay. Now you can take us path forward.
Sure. So I mentioned at the beginning of this, and this is my last slide, that we have the initially prepared plan scheduled for March. And so we're rapidly moving towards that time frame. I also mentioned earlier that we have three areas, subregions of the region that have been utilized previously. High Plains, the I-35, and then the lower portion of Brazos G. And in the last cycle, there were subregional meetings, three, that were held prior to the IPP being issued, which means we would be looking probably sometime in January of next year to hold three subregional meetings. And I wasn't here last time, so I can tell you exactly. But
so, yeah. So if I remember correct, I think we had one in Abilene, here, and in College Station. And in College Station.
By Basin.
Yeah, upper, middle, and lower Basin. So what we're asking is, does this group want to have the three sub-regional meetings again? If we do, they'd probably need to be in the January time frame. I just need a consensus one way or the other. Be in the January time frame because the IPP is due March 3rd. We've done it. Dale, I guess as long as we've been on here, haven't we?
Yeah. Weren't they pretty well attended?
There was probably, Jennifer, do you remember, 20 or so? There's at least 20 at every meeting, if I remember correct. Is that what you remember?
That's correct. And I think the largest contingency was in the lower basin. We had a good one in the middle. And then in the upper basin, we had a number of the stakeholders, not so much the general public, but the stakeholders that you really want to meet and talk with. And they were equally grateful that we were reaching out to them. And I think that was an important component of having these kinds of meetings.
I agree with what Gail says. It's part of the transparency process, the public participation process. You know, well, there's 37 counties. It's a, you know, a large basin. Mm-hmm. I suggest to you it's beneficial that we give that opportunity for participation.
Okay. Is there anybody that would be in opposition? Okay. It doesn't say we have to have them in our bylaws. So I wanted to get a consensus that we wanted to continue what we had been doing in the past without me presuming that we're going to just do it. So thank you. That's what I was looking for. We will set those up sometime in January. Yes.
Hey, yes, Wayne, actually, I represent the public, so I should say something.
Yeah, you need to say something.
We would like to have that transparency that the judge talks about. And until we get a kind of a non-attendance, I would say this is kind of a standard to put out through the process.
I agree with both of y'all's comments, yes. I just didn't want to make the decision solely on me.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, now you can go ahead with the rest.
So what we'll be working on here as we're moving forward, we submitted the Task 5B scope of work package to the Water Development Board. They had a couple of comments we modified, and it's in their review process now. We'll be updating, as I mentioned at the beginning, we'll be updating our contract with BRA. That'll kick us into the water management strategy evaluations, where we'll be talking with all the various WUGs where we identified needs. Again, I anticipate that as we're talking about needs, that's when they'll say, well, let's look at our supplies a little bit closer and make sure that we dial in. So those supply numbers, I would not be surprised if they get changed as we're talking with those guys. We'll continue to be developing chapters. Next one I'm hoping is going to be chapters 3 and 4 to bring forward to y'all at our next meeting. 4 will largely depend on a lot of those conversations and how far along we are in those conversations. I will let you know that we've received contact from the city of Georgetown. There's the potential that they're looking at an amendment, but I don't know if it's going to be an amendment or if it's going to go into this next plan and how the timing of that works, because we're rapidly getting to a point, if we're not already there, we're amending the last plan would take as long as getting to the IPP. So we'll see how that works out. But a lot of it has been getting more detailed information on exactly which aquifer, which county, you know, those kind of details that we need to review it. And then as we're doing our water management strategy evaluations, along with that's going to be a lot of outreach. We'll be making lots of phone calls with folks and meeting with folks. And included in that will be ramping up the scope of work committee as we're evaluating water management strategies and coordinating with the policy committee as this policy discussion gets rolling. Thank you. Appreciate you.